Hi, ladies. My name is Zenobia Bernier, and I am delighted to share a few thoughts with you in this podcast about Mark chapter 5. We are now in session 4 of our study. In the first 3 chapters, we read how God declared that Jesus is the Son of God, how Jesus preached the gospel, how he has the authority to forgive sin, and that Jesus unites. We also read that he performed miracle after miracle and acquired a large following. In this session, we read only a few verses from chapter 5, and we focused on who Jesus is as our restorer. And I wonder, how many of you who are listening to this podcast right now are in need of a special touch from the God who restores? Well, I'm actually going to begin in verse 1 of our chapter, because I think that the story leads beautifully into where our study picks up in verse 21. Jesus had just arrived on shore, and he was immediately approached by a man who was demon-possessed. This man didn't have just one demon inside him. It says in verse 9 that there were many. In fact, they were called a legion of demons, and he was continuously tormented by them. Yet he went to the one, the only one, who had the power to restore him to the man that he once was. And it says in verse 2 that he did it immediately. He didn't waste any time contemplating the perfect words to say or how he looked. He just went straight to Jesus the moment he saw him. And Jesus healed him. Then it says in verse 15, a crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Now, they didn't know what we know. They didn't have access to the Bible like we do. We know that what Jesus said in Mark 10:27, with people, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And maybe there's someone listening who is in bondage to something right now, and you want to be restored. There's a sin that you just can't seem to stop doing, and it's tormenting you. Maybe it's an addiction, or even your thought life, and you know that it displeases God and it's broken your fellowship with him. Listen, don't wait. Go to him immediately and ask him to restore you. A little over a month ago, I was sitting at a table with some of the Virtue group leaders. Since not everyone knew each other, I asked them to share one thing about themselves that nobody at the table knew. We had all sorts of answers. One girl is afraid of the dark, another has a set of twins. And then one of the leaders said, I was addicted to drugs, and the day I gave my life to Jesus, he completely delivered me from my addiction. That blew me away. I mean, that's amazing. But that's Jesus, right? He's in the business of restoring people and restoring lives. Now, our reading began in verse 21. One of the rulers of the synagogue by the name of Jairus fell at Jesus' feet when he saw him. And it says in verse 23 that he was pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live. So Jesus went with him, but so did the large crowd that was following him. In verse 24 in the Amplified Bible, it says that the crowd followed him and pressed in around him from all sides. Imagine this scene, if you will. You've heard that Jesus can do the impossible. You run to him, fall at his feet, and plead your cause for your child. He agrees to go with you. Naturally, you start walking, or probably running if your child is dying. But Jesus is stopped by this ever-growing crowd. What would you be thinking if you were Jairus? How would you be feeling? His daughter was dying. Every second mattered, and these people were, I'm sure in Jairus' mind, in the way. They were going to ruin everything. Time was of the essence here. Though verses 25 to 34 through 34 were not a part of our reading, these verses tell the story of why Jesus was, in their estimation, delayed. I mean, we know that he is never late and he's never early, right? Well, there was a woman in the crowd who had an issue with blood for 12 years. For 12 years, she bled continuously. How awful that must have been. Doctors had tried all they could at her expense, and I'm sure at her discomfort, because it says in verse 26, that she had suffered many things from many physicians. Nothing they had tried worked, and her condition was worsening. So she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Ladies, that is some serious faith. She was confident that he could heal her if she just touched his robe. Do you have that kind of faith? Maybe the better question is, do you want that kind of faith? Because let me tell you, Jesus, feeling the power go out of him when she touched his robe, turned around and asked who touched him. She confessed what she had thought and what she did, and he says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." Girls, did you catch that? It wasn't the touch of his robe, but her faith in the power of the one whose robe she touched that restored her health. Her faith in the restorer was the key to her restoration. Now, getting back to our text in verse 35, while Jesus is still speaking to this woman, someone who was at Jairus' house came to tell him that his daughter was dead and he needn't bother Jesus any longer. It was too late. If you're a mother, imagine hearing those words. But Jesus didn't even give Jairus a moment to absorb that thought. It says in verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, talking about Jairus here, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." Your translation might have said, "Only believe." Ladies, nothing is impossible for him. Now, it's definitely easy for us to quote a scripture like 2 Corinthians 12:9 when he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And those words are true. But it's always easier to believe them when things are going well or when we're trying to encourage someone else. But it's in those moments or those years of suffering and hardship when we learn if we really believe what we say we believe. Jairus had a choice to make, and so do you and I. Do not be afraid, just have faith. So Jesus brings Peter, James, and John into the house with him, and there's wailing and weeping. And he says in verse 39, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep." The people, not understanding that Jesus is Jesus, the Son of God, the all-powerful God incarnate, they ridiculed him in their ignorance. So he makes them all leave and only allows the girl's parents and his three disciples in the room. He takes the little girl by the hand and tells her to arise. And she does. And it says in verse 42 that they were overcome with great amazement. Now, we don't know why the Lord allowed that delay to happen in this story. Perhaps he knew that healing the woman with the blood issue the way he did would encourage Jairus. I mean, he knew that Jairus was going to need to see his power displayed in such a way so that he would believe that Jesus could restore his daughter back to life. Perhaps it was also for the benefit of his disciples to see. One thing's for sure. This story was recorded in Mark for you and me to be encouraged today. He's never early. He's never late. He's always working, and he's in the business of restoring lives and restoring people. And maybe you're in a place right now where you are desperately in need of this kind of encouragement. I mean, it's no secret that 2020 has been difficult. I admit I was ready to celebrate New Year's back in June and be done with 2020. The pandemic, the economy, the racial division, and social unrest have taken away so many lives, so many jobs, and so many relationships have been severed. And when we look at our country with our limited human comprehension, it doesn't feel like anything good can come from this. But ladies, we cannot be afraid. We must have faith. Girls, since March, this church alone, through the efforts of our pastor, has seen thousands upon thousands of people either accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior or come back to him. Jesus has been restoring lives in 2020, and he's at work in your life too. Now, it isn't told to us how long Jairus' daughter was sick, but we know that she was restored. The woman with the blood issue suffered for 12 years before she was restored. We don't know why the Lord allowed that, but we do know the outcome. And some of you may be suffering physically, emotionally, or financially, and you've been suffering for a long time. Don't assume it will always be this way for you. The Lord is always at work in his children, and heaven still awaits. Maybe he wants to use your situation to draw others to himself. Maybe there's someone in your life who's watching how you handle your trial. And your faith could be the very thing that makes the difference in their relationship with Jesus. There may be something that the Lord is trying to work into you or work out of you in this process. Fall at His feet and ask Him to show you. You know, there are these restoration shows on the home improvement channels that have become popular, and in some of them, they restore old things, especially furniture. Now, I've never really been into that because it seems like a lot of work, but as I was thinking about Jesus as our restorer, I decided to find out all it entails. On one website, it gave the steps to restoring old furniture. The first thing you need to do is identify the current finish of the wood before any work can be done. Then comes the cleaning. And I'm not talking about a simple wipe down. I mean, that may work, but sometimes something stronger is needed to clean things up. And the stronger the cleanser, the restorer will often have to take the furniture outside in a well-ventilated area away from anything else. After the thorough cleansing comes what's called the re-amalgamation. And this is when all the scratches and cracks are buffed out. That could take some time to complete. But when it's done, the restorer can now move on to the stripping process, where they strip away the old finish to make room for the new stain. And then lastly comes the refinishing, where the restoration becomes visible because the new beautiful finish is applied. Now, I don't know if you're feeling like an old piece of furniture that desperately needs to be restored, but if you are, run to your restorer. Your need may not be a physical one. I know that. That's an easy need to identify. But I wonder if there's someone listening who, like Jairus was, you're pleading fervently with Jesus. Maybe it's to restore your marriage. I wonder if there's someone listening who, for whatever reason, is dealing with the disappointment of an unanswered prayer, or more correctly stated, the answer wasn't what you wanted. And when you didn't get what your heart desired most, there was a part of you that thought you got a raw deal, that you somehow missed out on God's best while it seems like everyone else got what they prayed for. The ability to conceive a child, a husband who loves them, the sparing of the life of their loved one, a ministry or school opportunity, a job or spot on the team that you worked so hard to earn but someone else got. And the list goes on, and it feels so unfair. If that's you, maybe what needs to be restored is your unwavering faith that His plans for you are good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Maybe what needs to be restored is your belief, a belief that is not dependent on favorable circumstances, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Psalm 51:10-12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Now is the time to ask Jesus, our restorer, to identify the condition of your heart. Surrender. Give Him free rein to clean it up, even if it means He's got to go in strong and take you away from anyone or anything else. Ask Him to buff out all those scratches and cracks in your attitude, thoughts, or habits. Be patient, because it may take some time. He needs to be able to strip away the old finish, the old you, to make room for the new you. Then He can refinish you. And you will shine, and others will see your brilliance, His brilliance in you, and you will be beautifully restored. If there's one thing I want you to remember about chapter 5, it's that no matter what the issue was, no matter what the need was, each person in need of restoration knew exactly where to go, or more accurately put, whom to go to. They went to Jesus. And not only that, girls, they went to Jesus with complete faith that He indeed could restore. Well, ladies, it has been my honor to spend this time with you. I pray that you've been encouraged by our study and that your fellowship in your groups this week will be sweet. God bless you, girls.